Gaganendranath was a landscape artist, a portraitist, a cartoonist, a costume designer, a modernist, but not a cubist. But ironically, his name had been inseparably connected with cubism in India. And sadly, this tendency to associate anything angular and fragmental with cubism is a common disease among not only the general art lovers, but artists too. Welcome to my podcast, Art Beyond Canvas. If you like this episode, please click the bell icon and follow me. Once, I remember an artist in a group show. In her profile, she claimed herself to be a cubist just because the shapes and forms she painted were composed of small squarish blocks. The canvases were quite attractive design. She could have been a good graphic designer in my view. I was tempted to tell her that cubes and cubism are not synonyms of each other. She was quite a snob, either due to her rich inheritance or due to her belief that she was the modern Picasso. I did not take the risk of dispelling her misconception. But the fact is, she was not an exception. Many people suffer from this lack of insight. Coming back to Gaganendranath Tagore as an artist, we must say that he did not indulge in cubism at all, but simply used fragmental shapes to invoke an ethereal spirit in his painting. There are a few striking differences between the paintings by Gaganendranath Tagore and those by the cubists. Cubism was essentially about depicting familiar objects on canvas. It was more of expressionism through shape and form instead of colors, unlike what the Fauves did. The idea was to make arrangements of characteristic aspects of an object on the canvas in overlapping sequence. In doing so, the sound hole of a guitar might have appeared on top while the strings might have gone below. The eyes of a man might be painted below the ears as a fragment, if necessary. But what Gaganendranath painted was not some particular object at all. He had depicted a scene of a town or a room with people in it using fragments of various shapes. The interplay of light and shadow through such fragments created an unearthly and illusory mood. Also, the cubists did have a peculiar knack for using rectangles. Of course, they used other shapes too, but not too frequently, whereas Gaganendranath used all kinds of forms and shapes. Cubists, as I said, depicted objects we are familiar with because an unusual item would have gone unrecognized if done in a cubist style. Hence, the cubists were not really driven by some kind of unconscious passion to convey some spirit of their soul. It was rather a practical and calculated approach employed in painting such images. Whereas, the primary motivation of Gaganendranath was to convey the spirit of the scene he depicted. Those were unlikely to be the products of deliberate effort. Now, the question may arise why I am referring one side as the cubists and the other side as artist Gaganendranath Tagore. Well, it is because Picasso set a movement in motion, whereas Gaganendranath did not leave a trail of followers. Why? We cannot say exactly why, but there could be a few reasons. His paintings with fragmental shapes were quickly misinterpreted as cubist style, and cubism was already in vogue in the West. It was nothing new. Even in India, people knew about cubism. Hence, in the eyes of the viewers, his paintings were beautiful but nothing unique. He was a great cartoonist too. His cartoons appeared in the form of books in 3 volumes. But you see, cartoons were already in place in India by that time. In fact, 65 years before the collection of cartoons by Gaganendranath was released, the first cartoon periodical had hit the market in 1850. It was launched by a British indigo planter, O'Brien Sanders. The name of the periodical was Delhi Sketchbook. It was followed by several other cartoon publications. Hence, being a gifted cartoonist did not mean doing anything new. His landscapes were amazing, but those were done in the Japanese wash technique, which resembled the ways of the Bengal school. In this too, the basic style did not stand out as anything new. It might have appeared as if he was towing the footsteps of his brother Abanindranath, hence another Bengal school artist. He was a fashion designer too. In fact, the typical gown in which Rabindranath Tagore is always seen in the photographs was designed by Gaganendranath Tagore. But I do not think those were the days for radical fashions to sweep through the nation in a blink, unlike today when 10,000 new items are added by Sheen on daily basis. As a whole, you can understand that Gaganendranath Tagore was a great artist, but his works did not raise a wave of sweeping change. Then the question is, why do we know his name? It may not sound very agreeable, but it is an undeniable fact that he was born in a family that was very close to the British government since ages. Prince Dwarkanath, his great-grandfather, created a massive business empire with its interest in mining, banking, trading, indigo plantation, and so on. He kept the top British officials in India in absolute good humor. This connection did not snap after his death. It went right through the children and grandchildren. In fact, Gaganendranath Tagore was a member of the committee that was responsible for setting up the statue of the Lieutenant Governor Stuart Bailey in 1895. He contributed money for making the statue. When Indian Society of Oriental Art was formed by the Tagore brothers, it consisted of 35 members. Only 8 were Indians. Rest of the members were top British officials, including Chief Justice Robert Fulton. It shows the close proximity of the Tagore family with the British elites. In fact, Indian Society of Oriental Art received financial support too from the Bengal government for various activities as well as publishing its journals. This helped them to organize funds on various occasions for taking the cause of art and literature forward. Not only that, but their circle also consisted of wealthy and powerful Britishers who were art lovers and collectors. He was appointed as the member of the Art Advisory Committee of the Indian Museum. Besides enjoying reasonable power thanks to their proximity to the government, the Tagore family was rich. Frankly speaking, in today's world, self-published authors are not taken seriously. Even though several highly popular Indian authors of modern day had published their books on their own in the beginning, yet we generally look down upon such authors who could not land a mega publisher to take up their book. But ironically, the Tagore family had gone a step ahead. They had their own magazines itself. Hitavadi, Tattvabodhini, Bharati were a few examples. At a later date, Rupam magazine too was published with the help of Gaganendranath Tagore. He had organized the funding required to set it up from the government. To top it all, several of his paintings appeared in the autobiography of the then living legend Rabindranath Tagore. Naturally, publicity was not the challenge. His paintings had been exhibited in several exhibitions across Europe as well as India. Thanks to his clout in the upper echelon of the Indian as well as British society, many of his paintings were collected. It is said that most of his artworks are in private collections in the West. You can understand why we know Gaganendranath Tagore. He had a throbbing presence in the art and literary world of the time. Even though the proceeds from sale of paintings were unlikely to be sizable, he lived in the thick of the creative world, beside running the Jamindari. Unlike another poor artist, there must have been plenty. He did not have to struggle to make his ends meet. Money was not an issue. Hence, all said and done, Gaganendranath Tagore played a very critical role to take the cause of art forward, but did not really make a mark as a game changer of Indian art. There was no followers to generate a movement after he passed away. Now, I would like to refer to the point I am making through my discourse. Gaganendranath Tagore received commercial return as well as plenty of respect and fame in the circle of art, but he is often skipped in the books on history of Indian art. He was not a game changer. He did with great passion what had been done before already. Hence, in his lifetime, he did not suffer the curse of anonymity and neglect as an artist. But he doesn't stand out as one of the legends either. In my following episode, I shall talk about the stalwart who made the Tagore family immortal. You know who I am talking about, Rabindranath Tagore. But I shall not talk about the poet Rabindranath, but the artist Rabindranath. Stay tuned until then.